make sure you do listen to this episode. I can't believe you haven't listened to any of the other 38 episodes.
Oh, he wouldn't do it. Oh, he wouldn't do it. What a shot. What a double, what a part. Matt McInnes is your new 2019 Clubs New Zealand singles champion.
Hi, I'm Alex Stones and welcome to episode 39 of Inside New Zealand Pool. For reference, it is late September. So although the majority of the country is now out of lockdown, there are still some obstacles in place before we can start looking forward again to some pool tournaments. One man who is really leading the charge in that respect, who has recently announced a new tournament to be played in Wellington, is our guest on this week's episode. So he's a bit of a legend of the game, seven Clubs New Zealand titles, which puts him joint seventh on the all-time leaderboard. And probably knows most notably, he is the 2011 National Singles Champion. So welcome to the podcast, Craig Steinmetz. Craig, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. So before we go through your upcoming tournament in a little bit more detail, firstly, let's find out a little bit more about you, Craig. So good place to start. How did you first become involved in Q Sports?
So Dad used to have a pool table in the garage and he was involved in Q Sports and I just enjoyed playing the game and used to stand on a little box when I was five and play pool on the table with him. Then years went by. I tried to join the club at 18, and I think I got into the club at 19. That was Club Vista, whereas I played snooker for 3 or 4 years because they only had a snooker table there. So that's how I actually got into the Q Sports. Then I realised that I was quite good at it and decided to play pool, started playing in the Nationals, and never looked back when I was about 22.
And this was, just for reference, this is back in, you said you played at the Club Vista. Is this in the Kapiti Coast region? Have you always been where you're based now?
Yeah. So I always lived in Paparam, born and bred here. And yeah, it was called the Kapiti Club back then. It's now Club Vista, got taken over, got changed and amalgamated with the RSA. So yeah, that was, like I said, I was 19 when I joined there, but they didn't have pool tables. There was really nowhere in Paparam to play pool. It was just snooker, apart from Dad's house, who had a pool table. And then, yeah, later on, I bought my own pool table. And so snooker was the first few years, and then into pool.
And who were some of the top players or some of the, you know, notable players in your region when you were growing up?
Okay, well, in Kapiti Coast, not really anybody. Nick Spears was around. Spires used to play with him a lot in snooker, but we didn't sort of grow up together, but we both were in Paparam all of our lives. I used to play with, in snooker, there was like John Pike in there, but not really in pool. There was really no one in Paparam, but there was, and I really never really played outside of Paparam. So I used to play pool with Mark Beveridge, but he always lived up the line and I used to just meet him at tournaments to play at. And then me and Nick played in, Waikanae Charter Club. I then joined Waikanae because they had a good pool following and we had quite a few members there. So we had Mark Beveridge, Nick Spires, myself, Mike Courtney, names that are probably gone now, you know, that were quite good pool players. And we used to have a very strong pool adjunct and that's where it all started from. And we used to travel to the pool tournaments around the country.
And so just to take a step back, so when did you first realise that you had a bit of a talent holding a cue?
When I could stand and bend over the table properly. So I'd say around about 12 or 13. I mean, I used to play it all the time in the garage with Dad, but I would have to stand on a box, you know. But it wasn't like the juniors now that get a chance to go into the clubs and whatnot. I could just only do it at home. And Dad would have 11s on a Sunday where some of his friends would come around, you know. So I was like 10 and they were like 35 sort of thing. And I'd play pool with them, you know. So, yeah. And then I used to beat all of my mates at pool as we were growing up. And, yeah, I just got better and better. And then I decided that, you know, I wanted to play pool. And I mean, we didn't have back then, you didn't have, you know, computers and all that sort of carry on. So when I could get to the club or the pub to play, we just played pool every day. Snooker every day. That's what we did. We just played, played and played. Nine ball, all sorts.
And so your first club's New Zealand title, 1999 North Island Pairs with Nick Spears, who we'll obviously be discussing later as your, I guess, your business partner for your upcoming tournament. But what are your memories, I guess, going back, what sort of 22 years back to 1999? What can you remember about
it? It's quite hard to go back that far because I only played with Nick in one North Islands, and that was it. Back then, and we won it. And Wayne Tibbetts was there at the same time. He was actually staying with us because it was Waikanae and Porirua. So that's when I first sort of met up with Wayne as well. I'm sorry, I really don't have many memories from the North Islands in 1999. It's a long time ago. You know, it was in Waimata, and Richard Daction was there, and all the guys. It was good. It's a bit of a blank. I mean, they even forgot about it when they used to put it in the North Island book. You know, we had to have that corrected because I'd forgotten all about it. But you're young then, you know, so it was just a good tournament.
Was that one of the first sort of major or, island tournaments that you'd been to?
I was playing with Mark Beveridge prior to that when we used to play in the Coast to Coast in New Plymouth, which they still run now. And we played in the North Islands and got to the final in Fielding and lost to Mitch Ingram and Werner Fontaine, who back then were, still probably top players now. And we also lost in the semi-finals of the Nationals a couple of years prior to that, me and Mark. And then I moved to Nick. So, yes, I'd already been there, you know what I mean, into a final. But that was the first one I'd ever won. I suppose I drank too much back then.
So you mentioned Wayne Tibbetts. You two have obviously won four Clubs New Zealand Pairs titles together at both North Island and also National Pairs as well. So tell me about your relationship. When did you guys first meet, and did you just immediately gel with each other?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was basically in 1999 when we won the North Islands in Whangarei because we stayed with them, and Nick didn't want to play the following year. And Wayne's partner, who was Craig Linden from the Porirua Club, wasn't going to play anymore. And I was in Waikanae, or wherever I was joined at the time, and I said, should we play together? And I joined the Porirua Club and never looked back. And we sort of had the same sort of playing technique. We didn't really talk too much amongst ourselves in shots because I played a lot of safety and he used to just pot everything because, I mean, he won at the Nationals back in 97 or something, and he learned that from me, that side of the tactical game. So it was quite good, actually, and we just gelled quite well together, you know what I mean, especially when we practiced together and whatnot. So, and we just, you know, blossomed into a pretty good partnership, really. We just played good. Like, we just didn't have to really talk. I mean, we only spoke if one of us were really in difficulty and wanted to discuss something. So, yeah, it just gelled, and he's been a great mate ever since.
Yeah, looking back at when I've spoken to some of the other people involved in some of the most successful pairings, the likes of the two DeFaria brothers, Phil Wilkinson, Matty McInnes, and then I guess more recently sort of Baden and Simon. And one of the patterns I sort of noticed is that these successful pairings would typically have the more sort of intense individual, and then that would then kind of be balanced out with the more sort of, you know, relaxed and laid back partner. Yep. Is that a sort of a synergy that you two have got?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were both top players. We still are. So we just, yeah, like Matt and Phil, they were, we ran into them quite a lot in our finals through the years. And they had a very good system about the same as ours. You know, they just knew what they were going to do and didn't really have to talk a hell of a lot. One played a little bit safer than the other. And yeah, me and Wayne sort of gelled perfectly. You know, he was a good potter and I was more of the thinker, you know, when we needed to do a bit of safety and whatnot. And yeah, it was just great. We're still going strong now. We had a bit of a break in there somewhere, and I went and played the Nationals with Chief Bullis. Yeah. And Onehunga, I think it was. And we won that Nationals. And then we almost defended it down in, I think we're in Invercargill. It might have been in Christchurch, and we came runner-up, me and Jeff. And then I went back to Wayne. So, yeah, I've had a good career in pairs.
As someone who has been as successful in pairs as you have been, would you like to see a return to Scotch pairs as opposed to what we currently have with the alternate visit?
I didn't mind Scotch pairs. I mean, me and Wayne won that in Upper Hutt in the North Islands as well, that Scotch pairs. We played really well together. because of the way we play. So we just play singles mainly, you see. So that's what Scotch pairs is all about. So if I didn't have a shot on, then I want to leave my opponent with, you know, so I had another shot further down. And we sort of have that same ability to do it. So we just basically play a singles game. So Scotch pairs was fine by me. I don't mind it at all. But it's a big thing to change with the players in the clubs now, I believe. I think they like the Charter Club rules. And don't get me wrong, I really like the Charter Club rules as well. I also like two-shot rules. I've played that as well a few times.
So moving forward to what I assume is the highlight of your Q Sports career, the 2011 national single. So this one's only 10 years ago, Craig. Have you got more of a memory of this victory?
Oh, no, I definitely have a memory of that one, okay? Me and Wayne played so bad in the pairs there. And my wife was there with me, Lynn, and she went home 2 days earlier because she had stuff to do. And Wayne left on the Saturday. I think the finals was on the Saturday or the Sunday because it just didn't work. And it was just me there, actually. I didn't really have anyone else there that I travelled with. They'd all gone. And I was 3-0 down to one of the Wilkinsons. I think it was Daniel Wilkinson. And I looked at my watch thinking, I'll be home in 6 hours. And I thought, I'll just pop that black up the rail. And it went in and I just played frame from frame for frame and, you know, just motored through. And it was a pretty good lineup being in Auckland. I played Matt McGuinness and I played Matt Edwards, I think it was. And, yeah, had a good run to the final. That was real, you know. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Because I've been trying to win. I mean, I haven't won the North Island yet singles. And I've been to every one for the last 25-odd years. And I never really got that far in the nationals either. I mean, I had a good run and a good ranking because I was always successful through the section play. And, you know, I would get to the last 16 or last 32, but never much further than that. So, yeah, I loved it.
I was doing some research. I found what looked to be as a newspaper article or a stuff article where you've been interviewed after the victory. And it said that in your quarterfinals, you played 7 racks in 8 minutes.
Well, that was myself and Matt McGuinness. I mean, it was about that quick. It was fast. He broke first and cleared. I broke, cleared, he broke, cleared. And it just went on like that. We got to 3-all and it was his break and he didn't get a ball off the break and I cleared. So it was really fast, you know what I mean? And he came up to me at the end of that and said, "Chip, well, congratulations, you know what I mean? I don't mind losing to that." It was just, we were on fire, both of us, you know what I mean? And I mean, obviously I continued that through. But each of those matches from the quarterfinals through to the final were all 3-alls, including Matt Edwards. And it was their break on the 7th frame. And they never got a ball off the break. And I cleared each one of them. So I do remember that right through from the quarters to the final. And that also happened with, I was playing Rangi Parika in the final. And it was 3-all and it was his break. He broke, didn't pot a ball, and I cleared. I do remember that.
so the final back then was only a race to 4, was it, for the national championship?
It always been a race to 4, pairs and singles. And they also had so I think going back a bit further than 2011 or maybe around there, they used to have a committee that would travel with the pool. So it wasn't always up to the club. It had a committee that went with it. There was Trevor Higginson, Kevin Stowers, I think Gary was there. This is after Jeff. And they would, you know, there was a head ref that had junior refs as well. So you always had timers. So the games, I think we finished that nationals around about 6 o'clock at night, maybe a little bit earlier. And then you have your presentation, then everyone has a really good night. Nowadays, it seems to be finishing at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's lost a little bit of its organization. It's all basically down to time. There's no timing anymore, which makes pool a little bit, I don't know, hard to watch.
Do you not think that the priority for a national championship should be, you know, longer races at the business end, and whether it means finishing at 9 or 10 o'clock, but surely a national final should be at least a race to 6 or race to 7 as opposed to a race to 4? Could
be. Absolutely. And like we've just been running this format that we're doing, we've done it 3 or 4 times now, race to 9, but with a shot clock on. And me and Nick did it, me and a few others have done it, and the longest it's taken us is 1 hour, 7 minutes with a shot clock, doing it properly to the rules. If all the tournaments were run properly to the rules, so if they got down to the last 16, which is only 8 games, and had timers on them, you would be finished at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You could race to whatever you want. it's time, because you'll get one match that plays quite quickly and then you'll get a slower match that's not timed, even though the ref's standing there and you watch it all the time on live and it's bloody boring, that 20 seconds, then 10, you get one extension, you can get anyone to time. It's only timing. It's not reffing, just timing. Those matches will fly through. You get a lot of those top players that know that they're coming up against a faster player, maybe like myself or whatever, and they'll deliberately slow the game down because no one's there timing them. So it frustrates me who plays to the rules as opposed to not playing to the rules. They all know what the rules are. You know, if I knock a ball with my cue, that's foul. It's the same thing with time, you know. Time has always been the biggest problem. They talk about it at every AGM for the last 5 years, yet nothing gets done. It's very, very easy. There's a lot of the other players out there that, you know, are moving up the ranks, because I talk to a lot of them, that want to see time work. But if you just ask those players that weren't playing section play that day, if 10 of them wanted to come in time, they'd happily come in time. Doesn't take much to train them how to do it. But no one does it. They all talk about them going to do it, but they don't do it. And that's what's letting our game down right now. I mean, back then when we were winning nationals in 2003, 2004, even 2011, it had timers on. And then it had refs as well. I don't know why it's gone backwards, but it has, unfortunately. But anyway, that's my view on timing. And I'm pretty sure that probably half the pool fraternity would agree with me.
Well, my understanding, and I believe that this was discussed at the AGM that was held at the Masters and the Ladies Nationals in Hamilton a few months ago, was that they were training, the Tauranga Club was going to be training a team of essentially timers for the upcoming National Championships, which are now going to be held in December. Although these timers wouldn't have any sort of official power, they would be purely there just to kind of, you know, advise a referee, but ultimately the referee would have the final call. So it sounds as though Clubs New Zealand and the committee, the powers that be, whatever, have acknowledged this timing issue and are wanting to do something about it, possibly.
Yeah, but that won't work if you have to consult with a ref. They have to stand there at the table, call the 10 seconds, and then call the foul at 30 seconds. They're only going to have one or two refs running around, and they've got 20 tables. If they're going to train a team of players like we do, we've got a team of 10 out here already that do time, that's their call. They do that. If there's a foul or a free ball or whatever, then the ref comes over and just deals with that. They've also got to realise that if someone else is playing a shot, they've got to pause for a minute. Yeah, you can't have a team of timers that can't actually call time. They've got to be able to do the job themselves. It's not that difficult. The ref deals with the, like I said, free balls, combos, all that sort of carry on. I mean, I've watched it so many times. I mean, you know, like Mike Ryan. I like Mike Ryan, right? And I do talk to him about it, and he says, you know, I do it. But, you know, when you get into a final of the Easter Classic or getting close to it, those quarterfinals through to the final should be done properly to the letter of the rules. So every other player in New Zealand can see that's how it's supposed to be played. Not let them have a little bit more time because they've got there. It's not the rules. You knock the ball with your hand, say, oh, sorry, or carry on. You know, it's the same sort of rule, you know. It is 20 and 10 seconds and one extension. Overseas, you don't give them a bit of extra leeway because they're in a final. That's to the time, you know. Rules are rules, mate.
May have this wrong, but I remember Barry Appleton made a comment on a live stream a while ago that you don't time the player, you time the match, by which I think he meant it's not a case of, you know, you religiously get the 30 seconds per shot. It's a case of be a little bit more pragmatic and think, well, you know, he's in a tough spot. He's in a, you know, someone's laid a nice safety. You know, like you say, just kind of give a little bit more leeway, use a bit of common sense rather than strictly stick to the 30 seconds. So it's a little bit more, when you go down that route, I guess it's a bit more ambiguous and open to interpretation. But it's,
well, that could happen if you actually had timers. We don't have them at all. That's been spoken about for the last 5 years and we have not seen it once. I just played in the Waikanae inaugural eight ball tournament that they had, which I won. Barry Appleton came up from down south and was the ref on it, the final, and he refed the whole thing. We had main plate, flight on the plate, and flight on the main. And we're talking good players there. We had Harry and Itty and Brent Wells and everyone else. And it was all over and done with by 4 o'clock in the afternoon on six tables, best of fives, best of seven. We played best of seven in the final. We had the opportunity if we wanted to play best of nine, we just went best of seven. And that was time by Barry to the letter of it. And it just showed how a tournament could be played with a fairly big field. Well, 40, I think there was, or 48. Flight, plate, main, all the rest, with time done by a reasonable hour in the afternoon. And you know, they're talking about having an extra day at the Nationals because they need it. Well, they don't need it. They just need timers. You could probably take an extra day off if you had timers. Honestly, it used to work. And back in the very first time when we started playing Nationals and North Islanders, they used to run two rounds of section play. So you'd play your first round of section play and the top two would qualify all the way through. And then those top twos would all get put into another section and play again to the top two, and then it would spit out the last 16. And it would take days off it. And then you play whatever you want. Well, it used to just be best of seven, still race to four, up to the final. It used to finish at a reasonable time. It needs to finish at a reasonable time, Paul. People need to enjoy themselves and, not be there at 11 o'clock at night with nobody left.
So going back to 2011, so what was the next 12 months like for you? You know, going to tournaments, being known as a national champion, did that bring an extra level of pressure to you?
Honestly, not really. I played good that year. I mean, I'd already played and won one prior to going to the Nationals at the Gold Coast Charter Club. So I was playing good that year. And we all have good years. No, not really. Just carry on is what I was. I mean, I did feel good in myself. So it made me feel good in work and everything, actually winning it. But yeah, just carry it on. I was hoping to do a little bit better down in Kashmir, but Brad Campbell gave me a hiding and then that was the end of it for defending it. And then it's all over. We carry on, so.
Are you ever disappointed that since becoming the national singles champion, is it fair to say you perhaps haven't quite reached that same level at the North Islands or the national singles since then, going really, really deep into sort of the semis and the finals?
Well, yeah, it would be nice to go further into it, but it's the like I said, the tournaments are taking longer and longer. You know, it frustrates me a little bit. So I get frustrated. The time thing for about 4 years frustrated me. You know, Wayne used to try and calm me down and say, look, just don't think about it. They're just going to do what they're going to do. So the professionalism for me had sort of gone, you know what I mean? But I am getting it back now, you know what I mean? I'm starting to learn that I just have to be patient with it. But like I said, back there when we were winning tournaments and that, things were played at a bit of a faster pace and properly. It would be nice to get back there. But hey, like I said, I just did win a singles one the other day, but it wasn't a Nationals or anything. And I got in the Labour Weekend tournament in Levin, which was last year. So I'd come runner up to Brent. So I am starting to play a little bit better again. You all have a little ups and downs when you're moving through. But hey, we're talking shit, a long time ago since my first one. I'm not Phil Wilkinson, who just, wins everything.
You have much experience of playing overseas?
Played in the 2004 inaugural World Cup in Surfers Paradise. It was two-shot rules. So that was in, 2004, made the team. So we played in the playoff in Hamilton. And I went over there with Des Blair and a few of the other guys. I think it was the beginning of the Big Guns tournament they play now over there.
Oh, right. Yes.
So, that was back and that was the first one they played. So there was us, ourselves, there was England and Australia, obviously, and a few others. We got it handed to us. And we played at the Marion Hotel, but that's the only time I've ever travelled overseas to play pool. So that was an honour to do that, to be selected for that. That was good.
And who else was in the team, New Zealand?
There was Des Blair. There was Jimmy Henry, Jimmy Johns, Des... Dennis McCarthy, because they had a Masters team as well that went over. So, there was about eight or nine of us. It was quite good. Yeah, so that was five of them. Yeah, so that was interesting. Yeah, so they played with the red and so two-shot rules, Aussie rules. I enjoy those rules. I actually do like playing with a small white ball. So I have a set at home and I play it all the time. I just don't put it all over Facebook like Simon.
What's been your best result in the Super League to date? Have you entered the Super League much?
Well, the first year they ran it, we played the Charter Club rules and they weren't happy about that. So they didn't let anyone from Wellington go because it didn't really matter. When we put it to vote to our Wellington players, 90% of them wanted to play Charter Club. But if they had to go down there and play in the Nationals, they'll play the two-shot rules, which is fair enough. You know what I mean? I can't sway the whole team. So we played the Super League with Charter Club rules, and then the ones that wanted to go down would go down and play the two shot. No, I haven't gone down and played. I would like to play. I would have liked to play in the last one, actually. But next year, I think I'll have a crack at it. And I hadn't been playing it enough, you see. I mean, I train. To be good, you've got to play all the time, you know. So, I mean, I train an hour every day on my own table, and I play quite a lot of charter club rules, you know, to stay at a high level, you've got to play all the time. And like I said to the guys, like Stumpy and that, I says, I just don't play enough at the moment to go down there and compete against the likes of Badens and Simons and the people that play it, you know what I mean? Now, I know he doesn't play it all the time, but he grew up with it, you know. So if I'd started off when I was 15 playing small white, red and yellow balls, then it would just carry on with me. But I haven't, you know what I mean? So you've really got to train for it, you know. So if I was going to play next year, I'd train for 6 months at just that game to get it right. Because it's not so much the potting of it, it's the rules. It's the safety and the knowing what to do, you see. I could set the balls up now and play quite well rack after rack, but I don't know the ins and outs of it. And it takes quite a bit to learn that side of it, you know, because I don't mind the safety side of it, but I don't know enough about it. I don't know if the white ball's touching the cush or the other ball's touching the cush, what I've got to do. You know, just shit like that I've got to learn again. Yeah, and it's been a long time since I played world rules. Well, played competition world rules. So I'd need to, or black ball or whatever you call it. I mean, they're all not too much different, but yeah, I'd need to practice to play, to compete against them. And basically, I'll just be giving my money away, like I told the other guys.
And do you still dabble at all in any snooker or nine ball? You mentioned earlier you played both of those.
Oh, no, nine ball was back in 2000, back when I got selected to go over to the world. I was playing a little bit of nine ball in Auckland, like just when I travelled up there and that. They had tournaments with Jimmy Johns's. But no, I never really played much nine ball. There was never any nine ball in Paparam or Wellington that you could go and play in a tournament. So no, not really. And when I played nine ball, I usually played with my snooker cue, which wasn't that good anyway. Snooker, I still play a bit of snooker at the club. I won an A-grade invitational snooker tournament a couple of years ago. Played Craven in the final. I think I beat him 4-1. All he said to me at the end is, bloody pool players. See, so I don't play snooker that much anymore. But, yeah, I still enjoy a good game of snooker. Yeah, a bit frustrating snooker these days. And that's another thing you've got to practice all the time to keep your, you know, keep your game going good and keep your scores up there. So, yeah, no, I don't play it like I used to. Mainly just pool. Just enjoy pool.
Okay, well, let's get on to the Premier Pool event that you announced a couple of months ago. I think it was just before the most recent lockdown, which was initially scheduled for early October, but subsequently just been pushed back a little bit. So do you want to begin, like, just tell us the talk to us about the history of the background to this tournament, yeah, Craig. How did it come about?
Yeah, well, the last couple of years, me and Nick have been talking about running a new pool, and it just seemed an opportunity with the COVID happening and everything that we should maybe introduce this Premier League. So it's not just Premier pool, it's A-grade, B-grade, women's. We're going to have it all happening, but at the moment we're just doing these first two, which is the Premier and the A-grade. We had enough players in the North Island. I mean, Simon, of course, because he was flying up here for something else anyway, so he was just going to change his tickets, come to Wellington and play. I mean, out of that Premier list is pretty good players, you know what I mean? We've got Phil and Dez and Healy, but I do have another 10 of Premier players that want to play as well, probably another 16 to make it 32, but we just needed to run the first one as a smaller event just to see how it's going to run, and then we'll push it out to bigger fields. It's just going to be like how they play overseas. It's just going to be X amount of dollars to enter, a straight knockout, race to nine, so lots of frames, obviously with timers on each table all the way through, and a head ref. Our head ref's going to be Barry Appleton, so he's coming up from the South Island. He will always be our ref and be involved in it, but we've still got to form a proper committee for the whole thing and get it up and running. So this is just the beginning of it, and it is something I want to do, because I mean, in the next couple of years, I'm going to wind up my, I'm going to slowly move out of my businesses that I do and spend a lot of time with pool. I like pool, you know what I mean? So eventually I want to get my own set of tables and play it at different venues, not necessarily clubs, maybe hotels or pubs. It's something I've been working on for a while. And it's going to be more of a professional sort of a sport. It doesn't, it may not run in the weekends, so it doesn't clash with anything. It might run on a Thursday and Friday. Because players that really want to play will take a day off work. And you're not running section play, you're not running any of that. It's always going to be live draws, so no one's ever going to know who they're playing. So each round will be just a live draw. So you just draw it out of a hat, and then you wait for the first round to finish, then you live draw it out again. And the reason we have to have time on board, because if we didn't have time and they had a race to nine, you had a couple of slow players, well, it'd take freaking 3 or 4 hours, you know what I mean? But it's just going to run it properly. You run the rules how they're supposed to run. And then if there's anything that needs tweaking in the rules, we can always visit that later or what have you until we've actually run it. So it's just a new way of running it. And I know a lot of people in New Zealand that play pool, and I've spoken to a lot of them, and they do like the concept and want to see it go further. So it's just, and we'll run a nationals, a big one, maybe one a year, maybe two, where we get a lot of players in, but it'll be just that same format. It'll just be a live draw, and we may include it to a two-life system, but it'll never be any more than that, you know? And like I said, we have Premier, which is your top players, and then we'll have A grade, and then we'll have a B grade, because there's a lot of those players as well. I mean, they make up, you know, huge numbers in tournaments, and we want to do ladies as well. But we'll just get these two running first and see if there's anything we could iron out. So it's over the next year to get it sorted properly. And COVID is being a pain in the ass, because, you know, we were going to run in October, but then they brought the Delta Level 2 out, and we had the okay to run it in Delta in Level 2, and then clubs, well, you know what's going on with clubs in New Zealand. So that's why we've had to push it out to November. Now, hopefully we're not in Level 2 in November, or else we're all going to be in trouble, and we can run it on the 20th and 21st of November.
So it certainly sounds like a fantastic event, and you know, for me, someone who was involved in the Great Southern Knockouts, I love the idea of, you know, essentially creating an invitational event. And, you know, we went for what we thought were the 8 best players in New Zealand. You've gone for 16, so that's fantastic. And, you talked at length about all the future plans for this. I mean, ultimately, what's been your motivation for this? I mean, you're clearly very frustrated with, you know, the way tournaments are run and time. Has a lot of this come about due to that? Is that your primary motivation?
The whole lot has come down to time and rules not played properly, you know, not sticking to it properly. And it's exactly what it's come down to. I mean, people love pool. You can't get big sponsors or anything if you're running a product that's not run properly. It's not a spectator's, it's not enjoyable to watch when it's not played faster. You know, the rules were designed to play the game faster, and if you're not going to police that, then it becomes boring to watch. So I don't know. I mean, you've obviously been to a tournament where time has been done properly. The game runs a lot faster, doesn't it? So yeah, it's mainly down to that. Just want to get it back to, you know, a spectator sport, and, you know, try and get some bigger sponsors. And in doing that, we'll train a lot of these players. Like Wayne said to me the other day, we'll run the Premier, and then the next day we're running the A grade. Well, some of those players from the Premier want to come in and time for the next one, because that's what they want. So then that grade will run faster as well. And it trains them to run the game better. So Premier, A, B grade, all learning how to do it properly. And eventually we can, you know, hopefully it'll just get bigger and bigger.
So it sounds like you've certainly got some big, lofty, long-term plans and ambitions. I mean, do you see this this model as something that could eventually compete with and perhaps replace Clubs New Zealand, or do you just see it as an addition to the Clubs New Zealand way of playing pool?
No, we'll never replace Clubs New Zealand. I mean, I like Clubs New Zealand, you know what I mean? I like Charter Club, and I like all the players that play in it. But like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to run in the weekends or step on any toes of anyone that's playing their interclubs and all that sort of stuff. We'll just see where it goes, see what happens. I don't want to replace Clubs New Zealand with it. It's just a faster way of playing pool, and it's more frames. So you play section play, best of three or whatever, and you get five matches. You know, so you're sort of eliminating that and just having big races, which is what people want, you know. And not knowing who you're playing, you can't sort of work things out or whatever. It makes it more exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of those players, like I said, are really looking forward to it. They want to be involved, you know. But like I said, it can still be for the next level and the next level, because as they play and get better, they can jump into the next levels, you know, so they'll eventually move up. The only way for me to get better is to play the better players, you know what I mean? The only way for the next level to get better is to play against themselves and longer races. So we're not alienating anybody. We're just making it good for everybody and involving everybody. So we're not just saying, right, bugger you lot, we're just going to take 50 of the best players and take them away and do whatever, you know. It's for everybody.
And I know you've sort of touched upon this already, but I guess, you know, looking through the player list, obviously a bit of a lack of South Island's players, most notably the likes of Adam Lilley, Kerry Wirtz, and Steve Denton would be the three most notable admissions from the South Island. Was there ever any thought of speaking to those guys and trying to get them to come up?
I've actually got them written down in my list. But I mean, I had Glenn Coots in there as well, Werner Fontaine, a few other, you know, really hard hitters from Auckland as well. But being in COVID, we just had to restrict it down to the closer people, if you know what I mean. We got four outsiders, I think, which was Dez, Phil, only because they can travel together, and Healy White, so Simon, and yeah, and then the rest of them were just Wellington players, basically. No, not at all. I would have loved to have Kerry come over and stuff like that, but we were trying to run it in COVID too because we had the authority, but then, like I said to you, they changed the rules on us and no one can play pool. So we actually had the hall hired to do it separate from the club, but it was still in the club, and then the airflow thing came into effect. So it was just making it too difficult. We could have still done it, but we were only allowed 21 people in the room, which means we lose half of our timers. We don't have anyone there to, you know, administration side of it. So it was just getting really, really tight, you know. So we'd rather have a nice, more enjoyable tournament for them as well, as opposed to, yeah, trying to jam it into, yeah, restricted and less numbers.
And I guess, I mean, we've seen over the last, probably the last week or so especially, you know, a lot of perhaps sort of confusion and inconsistency around COVID rules at level two. You know, last weekend we saw Samara Mead, she put on a tournament in Palmerston North, and then the same weekend there was a tournament in Bowie's down in Dunedin, and the next day the police, I think they essentially shut Bowie's down. So, like I said, seeing a lot of inconsistencies there at the moment. Is that something that concerns you moving forward, trying to run pool tournaments like this?
The Palmerston North guys, apparently they spoke to the local mayor and they spoke to the police and they said it was okay. So that's why they're doing it, you know. I'm sure on some level it's probably not right, but they've got the authority to do it, you know what I mean? I'm sure, and I'm not sure if they're a member of Clubs New Zealand either, you see. So, I mean, good on them for doing it and for being able to do it. But if they can do it, I can't see why the rest of the country can't do it. I believe the South Island should be running whatever they want. They shouldn't even be in a lockdown, you know, in my view, at all. But they are. So, no, I don't see it being a problem. Like I said, eventually we would like to have we will be looking at getting our own tables. And, you know, we've got warehouses and stuff. So, yeah, I am very serious about what we're talking about doing. We're also setting up a new light system to go over the tables that have GoPros mounted into them for future tournaments so that it's all set up. So we're going into the live stream side of what. But that takes money, it takes time, and it takes smarts to get someone to sort it, which we're on to it because, you know, I've got friends. So I'm working there. But this is it takes a while, you know. It's going to take a while. This is just our first tournament, see what it goes like. And if everybody likes it, then we're going to run a 32-man tournament, and that will be a 32 Premier, 32 A grade, and a 32 B grade. They'll be run on three separate days because it's pretty easy to run. You don't really need anything. You just need a bag full of marbles to draw it out live, give them their card, give them their timer, and away they go. And I've got to wait for each round to finish and then fire out another one, you know? So I think it will work well. I think it will be good. You'll be coming to the first one.
Absolutely. Am I invited to play? You must be pretty
absolutely
desperate, right?
Well, I know how much you like the time. Oh, I love the sport. I think it's a great sport. I just think we've let it slide a little bit over the last, you know, 10 years. And we need to get it back on track. And I think the only way to get it back on track is time. And it's time in charter clubs, time in any tournament. Time anywhere just needs to be brought back into the system. You bring time in and everything else will fall in place. I mean, hey, I usually play within, you know, my shots is usually 14, 15 seconds. But I've been known to take a minute. But I asked for an extension, you know, if I had time on me. So it's just how we learned to play the game when we learned way back then. A lot of players now that have come up never played back then when we played 25 years ago or 20 years ago. They never saw how the systems ran, you know. They had systems in place for everything. it should have grown stronger and stronger, but it sort of fell apart. And that committee got dissolved, then Jeff and Wiki got involved, and then that imploded. And then it went to the individual clubs, and hey, like I said, they do their best. And it's just, yeah, it doesn't really have a, like the darts, you watch the darts, they always have their team of committee that go to each tournament, just like you guys do with the Great Southern Knockout. You've got your own committee that will play wherever, and that's how it's run. And that's what we need in pool. We need that in charter clubs. We need it everywhere.
And I mean, you mentioned you're trying to create a product that's good for sponsors and, you know, good to perhaps watch on television. I mean, let's be honest, watching, you know, bigs and smalls on TV, watching the clubs in New Zealand rules often not the best because, you know, aesthetically, it can be quite difficult to tell which balls are where, whereas compared to black ball or world rules, where it's reds and yellows, it's a lot easier to see what's happening for the average punter. I mean, do you see yourself considering a rule change away from clubs New Zealand with these tournaments?
Well, yeah, we have talked about that, and that possibly will come. But we may run that just side by side, you know what I mean? Like I said, we may run two of them a year or something and five of the others or what have you, you know? We've got no problem with that. And having a camera mounted in the lights, you can get the whole table. So it doesn't matter if you're playing bigs or smalls or reds or yellows or whatever colors you want to call it, you'll have a good camera system. That's what it's all about. And then once again, that's just, you know, how many pixels you have on your camera, how good your gear is. And I believe we can make that work or not. It just depends, you know. I mean, it's good in theory saying what can happen, and I've seen it sort of work, but it's when you actually want to get it to work, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, you know. So we just got to let the professionals work that one out. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, sometimes it does work out. I mean, very hard to watch online charter club pool, and you can't really see the table properly. You don't really know what one's a big one or what one's a little one. But I think that's just positioning of the camera or what you're using to do it with. Your one's pretty good that you do. You know how you have the names and the time and that. That's pretty good. I like that idea. And I assume that goes down and beeps at them when it gets to 5 seconds. I mean, ultimately, that's what I'd like. That sort of system where it beeps at you. But I mean, that's, you're talking separate tables and, you know, that's expensive, or, you know, setting that sort of stuff up. I can't see that happening, but I can see it just running as best as we can get it run, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how complicated it is to get that beep to go down with 5 seconds to go. It looks and sounds pretty simple, but there's a lot of work that goes into that beep.
I already know that. I mean, like I said, Dad's company is a big IT company that do all sorts of stuff, you know what I mean? And they're quite smart. And I've spoken to a few of them, and it's not that simple. They know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, actually making it happen, you actually need to find someone that's, you know, knows exactly what he's doing. Hey, there'll be some product out there that we don't know about. It's probably pretty simple, but there's lots of products on the market.
So looking at the field of players you've got, I mean, I'm sure most people are going to be rating Simon Singleton as the favourite. And the last time that he actually lost a long race of 9 frames or longer in New Zealand was back in 2016, which was the Super League final against Baden Jackson. Is there any reason to think that he's not going to walk this one, Craig? Do you see him as a strong favourite?
Hell no. I don't think he can play 30 seconds a shot. Sorry.
Well, he did at the Great Southern Knockout.
Yeah, I know. There was a minute, though, when he was shot. No, hey, look, I've never played him. Actually, I've never played Simon. So I'm really looking forward to playing him. I really hope I draw him first up or at least second up. Look, I think out of that lot there, it's going to be a whole new experience for them, as I said, because it's going to be timers on each match. So it just depends how well they can play under pressure, you know what I mean? I've watched Simon play quite a few times, and I love the way he plays. He reminds me of, back in the day, Werner Fontaine was a really top player. I mean, there was a lot of them back then, you know what I mean? But they sort of had the same sort of technique. You know, I enjoy watching him play, definitely. But I think he'd probably play a lot better on time, because when he's flowing, he plays a lot better when they have too much time to think. And it's the same with me as well. When I think about the shot too much, I generally muck it up or do something. A lot of top players do that. So I think, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to playing Simon. And no, I don't know. I mean, hey, Brent beat him in the North Islands, and he was 3-0 down and beat him 5-4 or whatever it was. So, you know, like, I'd have to say out of that 16, any one of them could win it. I mean, is he on the day? Shit, he's unbeatable. Wayne, you know, the But Simon is the youngest of us all at the moment, you know what I mean? So he's like where we were 20 years ago. You know, he doesn't have a hell of a lot of fear and he just gets out there and does his thing and, yeah, might kill us all. You never know.
I'd imagine the format would suit someone like Healy White quite well because he's a very fast, very aggressive player. So I'd imagine him to run deep in it.
Yeah, it would suit myself, Wayne, very much. Myself, Wayne, Nick, Healy. It'll definitely suit us four. Because we're fast players, you know what I mean? And we've always been fast players. We'll just have to see what happens. Yeah, some of them are going to probably find it a bit of a shock.
I mean, do you see yourself having any further involvement within Clubs New Zealand at a committee stage? Or are you just kind of done with that side of things and you're just really putting all your eggs into this basket now?
Oh, no. I mean, I still am the convener of the Wellington Eight Ball and I will be for probably a while. And myself and Lynn's a secretary and Miriam does a lot for it. We don't have a big committee at the moment. But we still run our leagues and stuff. But once again, I've tried with them as well. It's always been about time, you know what I mean? If Clubs New Zealand wanted to form a committee for timers and actually train them properly, I'd be there 100%. And so would a few other players down this way that are top players would love to train and love to do it. But it's just a matter of making that decision and saying, right, you're in control of that then. And then you've got a head ref that's in control of the refs. So we need refs that are controlled and we need timers. And you need people that do timing that have got a bit of common sense, you know what I mean? Not to just, you know, if there's someone in an opposing table or whatever, they've got to wait for it, you know what I mean? But they've got to know how to do the thing properly. Our tournament, the tables will be spaced out wide enough so that there's no interruptions at all. So all the frames will flow, you know what I mean? That's what we're aiming to do. And in the future, that's what will happen. So it'll be spaced out 2 meters between each table so that there's no interruption. So there's no reason you can't not have a shot because someone else is having a shot. So, yeah, we just want to make it as professional, as fast as possible.
All right. And so just to finish off a question I sometimes ask some of my guests, who are the top five players that you've played in your Q Sport career, Craig?
All of them.
Including me?
No, Phil Wilkinson, Matt McGuinness, Werner, Mitch Ingram, Des Blair, Brent Wells, Baden Jackson. I mean, there's lists of them. There's lots and lots of them. But they're top players that I've played and, you know, been slaughtered. Me and Phil have been meeting each other for years and I've never beaten them in singles, ever.
Oh, really? Never?
Never, ever. Every time I come up against Phil, he just worms his way out of it. Doesn't matter how safety I play or what have you, he just has that knack. He's my nemesis. I just have never got past him in singles. So, yes, I really don't want to draw him in the live draw. And I mean lots of times, mate. I just never got past him.
He's probably the best player that I've seen in New Zealand at getting out of tricky situations and developing balls or developing situations that other players just wouldn't be able to do. He's got such a knack for it, hasn't he? And he's such a battler. He would never ever give up on a frame.
And he's such a nice guy. He just plays good. He really does. Yeah, he's a good player. But yeah, like I said, never ever have I beaten them in singles. I mean, we've beaten them in pairs quite often, me and Wayne, but we've never ever beaten them in singles. It's probably the only person that I could say. Not that I run into him that often, but yeah. Thank God he wasn't there at the Nationals when I was going on my little trip.
What about, yeah. What's your singles record like against Wayne Tibbetts?
Oh, no, we play fairly even. You know, we'll have a race to 10. It can go either way. You know, I can get 3 or 4 frames up on him. He'll come back and get 5 in a row sort of thing. So, you know, we have a lot of races to 10 and 11 and stuff, and it's pretty even. Yeah, back in the day when we were first paired up and we used to play quite a lot together, and I would always tie him up, you see, and he'd get frustrated, you know what I mean? I'd put a ball over the hole, and, you know, because, I mean, playing with Mark Beveridge and Werner Fontaine, they played a lot of safety, which I learned a lot of safety from them. So I used to bring that to these guys that would just pot everything, and I'd just have to put balls over holes and balls on their cushion, and, like, yeah, he's just trying to pot everything, and eventually just can't get everything. Give me a combo, and away I go, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And I think I taught Wayne a lot of that. You know, he used to always say that to me. Yeah, so I do like the safety side of it. It's probably why I like the world rules and stuff as well, you know. Yeah, but you get to a certain point and, you know, over the last few years I've just been trying to pot everything and that just doesn't work all the time because, well, you just don't have that same confidence level. It's just a matter of slowing your game down and always trying to improve on it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks very much for your time and all of your comments this evening, Craig. Obviously, you know, hopefully we'll be seeing your tournament being run in November. Aside from that, what else have you got on the calendar? Are you hoping to be up in Tauranga for the Nationals in December?
Absolutely. And I'm really hoping it's going to be on. I really hope COVID Auckland gets sorted out, because obviously if Auckland doesn't sort itself out, I don't see how they can possibly run the Nationals, which would just be a shame, you know. But, you know, I'll be at Nationals, Masters. I go to all of them, wherever they are, down south, up north. I love going to the tournaments. I like the people there, and I just really enjoy myself. And even though I, you know, not a fan of the time, it doesn't matter. I love the sport. So, you know, I enjoy interacting and I enjoy playing. So my one will be played a little bit different, but that's just because that's what I want to do. But I will always go to charter club tournaments.
Yeah, I feel like the next Nationals, hopefully it is in December, it'll be super, super special, because there'll be a lot of people, I guess yourself included, that, you know, a lot of us haven't seen each other for, you know, since 2019, for a couple of years now. And, you know, especially, you know, people from the other island. So it'll be great to actually catch up and see everyone face to face again.
Oh, absolutely. And the pool guys and everything, they're just all good people, all of them, you know, from wherever they come from. They're great people. I enjoy talking with them and I enjoy playing against them. And it's just nice to catch up. And it's been sucks not being able to play anything for the last, well, I don't know how long now. You need to just play with someone else, eh? As opposed to yourself in the garage. Yeah. So it'll be a pool, I mean. So I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see you at the Nationals.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Craig. And we look forward to watching your tournament in November.
No problem. Cheers, mate. Thank you.